there are things that you have been called to do. And these things will not materialize on the earth until a certain level of quota of prayer is reached. In fact, prayer is too important, more than how you see it. Prayer is just too important. You should even be afraid to pray on your own. What do I mean? You should be afraid to pray by your own understanding. You should be afraid to pray by your own wisdom. The reason being, because we are too limited. We are too limited. There are a lot of things that we don't know. A lot of things that we cannot do. A lot. And any human being that tries to discourage you from the place of prayer is your greatest enemy. It's your greatest enemy. A time is coming. You're going to call. Man of God. This happened. Sometimes I will not respond to you. The reason being, when you have been called, we are telling you to pray. You did not pray. There was a certain lady here like that. I woke up in the middle of the night. I called her and I said, wake up and pray. Join the prayer now. She gave me excuse. She said the next day she's going to write exams. About 2 days later, she found herself in the hospital. Disease and sickness that she doesn't even know where they came from. She was afflicted. Sometimes you don't know what is coming. You don't even know whether good or whether bad. As long as you are in this world, you are in a place of warfare. This message may not be nice to you. It may not suit you. But the truth is the truth. Things will happen to you and you'll be shocked. You may even think that you are even praying. And if something happens, you say, God, I am praying. But your prayer does not measure up to the quota that is needed. You see, sometimes you may be in one place. You can be praying. But if you are praying in the spirit, you can be in one place for a long time. The Lord can keep you in one place. And if the Lord open your eyes to see what you are praying for, you would not even like to pray for what you are praying for. We are very, very wise in our own ways. But you see, in our wisdom, we are weak. We are very, very weak. That is why we must learn to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues gives you an advantage, takes you into the future, prepares you for the future, and prepares you for what is coming. Prayer is strong enough to position you. Prayer is strong enough to move you. Even if an accident is supposed to happen the next day, prayer can reposition you. You will not be found at that place at that time. That is what prayer can do. Amen. So if you are not praying, you are giving excuse for prayer. Peter, James and John, they were sleeping when they ought to be praying. And a time came, Jesus Christ said, don't worry. Don't pray. Meaning that there is a time that God requires your prayer. There is a time that your prayer is needed. There is a time that you ought to give yourself to prayer. You escape. Some of us, we are dealing with things today because of a lack of obedience in the past. There are things that you begin to deal with. It is because you disobeyed. And the reason for disobedience is prayer. Prayer makes you obey God. See, prayer releases that power to obey God. A man who is not praying would live in disobedience. That is how important this thing is. There are a lot of mistakes that we have made that we are now correcting in the place of prayer. We are now correcting in the place of prayer. Listen to me. A problem can only be solved Let me think it in a different way. See, the way a problem is created is not the same way it will be solved. It is much more easier to create a problem than to solve a problem. Much more easier. Very easy to create a problem, but much harder to solve a problem. This one you need to go deeper. Amen. Amen. So watch out. You may think this prayer you are praying, God owns you the whole world. Because you have prayed for 10 minutes. You have prayed for It's not even enough. Look at what Jesus Christ said. He said men always ought to pray. That means our life should be characterized by prayer. Wake up in prayer. Sleep in prayer. Talk in prayer. Eat in prayer. Everything in prayer. No wonder Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Then just look at your prayer quota. Even in the place of discipline, When you have been called to pray, you can only pray for 15 minutes effectively. It's not enough. Comfort is going to cause a lot of weakness. Comfort is going to cause a lot of weakness. Amen. In the place, or at the time when you think you are strong, you are most vulnerable. At the time when you think, oh, I'm at the top, you are high, you are the weakest. Let him who thinks he stand. He says, take heed lest he fall. That is why you cannot say at any time, I have gotten to a certain level, so I stop praying. In fact, the higher you go, the more dependent you will be on him. The higher you go, the more dependent you will be on him. Do you see? That is how it is. In fact, as you grow older, as you mature much more, your dependence on the Lord becomes much more stronger. It means you pray much more. You don't take decisions casually. Do you see that? We are going to give you 10 years. And in 10 years' time, I'm going to watch you. You see, what you are doing right now is a seed. In 10 years' time, we would know the impact or the result of the training you are receiving today. 10 years' time. 10 years' time. Let me give you 10 years. Can you even press forward? Can you even press on? Can you even continue? Ten years. Don't get too relaxed. Don't get too satisfied. There is much more. You need to push and press for much more. You need to hunger and go for much more. No matter the amount of excuse, it will not fulfill your destiny. Excuses can never fulfill your destiny. In fact, excuses is a way to give another man your destiny. Moses would have gotten to the promised land if he did not call Aaron. Moses would have gotten to the promised land, but the man started giving excuse. God did not call Aaron. It was Moses who called Aaron. God did not call Aaron. It was Moses who called him. The reason being, when God called Moses, He gave a lot of excuses. In fact, he frustrated God with his excuses. I cannot talk, I cannot walk, I cannot write, I cannot do this, I cannot. Until God asks him, who created the mouth? Still, he said he cannot. Look at what it cost him. Do you see what it cost him? Your excuses will make you forfeit your destiny. You can give excuses today. In fact, a lot. There are 10,000 reasons why I should not be awake right now. You see, there are 10,000 reasons why I should not be awake right now. Or there are 10,000 reasons why you should not even be awake right now. But you chose to be awake. You could have chosen excuses. You can give excuses. You see, this journey is not for the weak. It's for the strong. You see, this is how his captains are trained. They are trained rigorously. They are really trained. Hardened. This is how they are trained. We are not going to lower the standard for anyone, so that at the end, even if it is 10 people that has gone through the refinery, when they come out, they will be solid. Even if it is 5 that we are going to produce, when they come out, to be solid. We are not reducing the standard. The standard will not be reduced. It is an international thing. It will not be reduced. The standard remains. About the thing, this is 13 years ago. I was going to visit my mom. So I was going to visit her. I came across a book, and the book was in a dirty place. But somehow I was fixed to the book, and I knew I need to take the book. So I picked the book up, dusted it, cleaned the book. As I was reading the book, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, I would use you to raise Christianity back to its standard. I was shocked. Then I wrote it down. On that book. There is a standard. For you to begin to give excuse is because you want to reduce the standard. You see, Even if God is not able to do what he wants to do through you, because you put the standard low, he will find other people who would make sure to get a job done, and it will be at his standard, the way he wants it to be. So if I say no more atmosphere of miracle and intervention, I'm going to sleep, God will not complain. He will only look for another person on whose shoulders the assignment would ride. And if that person fails, he will get another one. You see, God lives in eternity. He doesn't have years, maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. He doesn't get old. You are the one who gets old. So he can wait for even 1,000 years to get that job done. The most important thing is that he will get it done. But you will be the one to lose out. You will be the one to lose out. Amen. Do not reduce the standard. Do not reduce the standard. Maintain the standard. Maintain the standard. Maintain the standard. Stop giving excuses. You are good. A lot of reasons. Logical reasons. But you chose to stand as a beacon of hope. Men will look up to you. And because you crossed, you took that path, you make the path easier for those who are coming. Amen. The standard. Never reduce the standard. No more excuses. Aaron, he helped Moses in a negative way. Very, very negative way. Two were called. One of them decided to part ways. And we never heard the name of that one. Paul and Barnabas were called. Apostle Paul refused to reduce the standard. But the other man, he chose to reduce the standard. We never heard his name anywhere again in scriptures. Because of a certain John. John Mark. Barnabas forfeited his ministry. He gave up his ministry. The day you get out of course, you get out of your destiny. You get out of track. It's the day you reduce the standard. It's the day you started taking another path. So nobody heard of Barnabas. But look at Paul. Look at the exploits. The standard. What God told you, from the beginning. Are you upholding it? Some of you become too familiar. You even become familiar with your destiny. When you meet a man of God, let's say for the first time, you exhibit a kind of level of honor and maturity. But as time goes, you start becoming too familiar. You start becoming too familiar with prayer. You start becoming too familiar with service. You become too familiar with everything. Too familiar. Familiarity. So the people who came from the town of Jesus started saying, "Is this not the carpenter's son? He's a carpenter's son." They said he raised the dead. He's the carpenter's son. They became too familiar. And because they became too familiar, it was a negative effect on them, not on Jesus. Because Jesus could do only but a few miracles in their midst. He could heal only but a few. In his hometown, he healed only but a few. They reduce the standard by familiarity. They reduce the standard. You can also do the same thing. You can do the same thing. You can become too familiar. And once you are not intelligent in this way, you miss God's timing. You miss a lot of things. And you have to go and start again and start again and start again. And starting again never gets you anywhere. That is why you must learn to maintain supernatural relationships. You must learn to maintain supernatural relationships. That the people that God, they are strategic people God have brought in your life at certain times for different purposes. They are steps in your journey. The moment you remove those steps, you go down. That is what it is. God uses men. He will not bring an angel. It is men that he's going to use. So the moment you reject God's man, what God is going to do is that he will now look for another man that suits you, what you, that your desire. He cannot send an angel. And when he says that you are no longer having a genuine motive, he will leave you to men that will corrupt you. It is not as if he is the one doing it that way, but it is the judgment. That is judgment. Judgment on your head. So people are given to false prophets. Fasting under false prophets is a form of judgment. Most of the time, these people, they disobeyed. So God leaves them to themselves. Amen. Our labor will be much more easier if we learn to recognize and to hold on to what we started doing as at first, the way we started doing it. We continued like that. That is what is called consistency. The same zeal. Do you see it? The same zeal. The same zeal. as at first. You continue like that. This is how a disciple is formed. This is how God's men are built. They don't allow the zeal to die down. They keep it. They preserve it. Don't become too familiar. With prayer. Don't become too familiar. With prayer meetings. Don't become too familiar. With men of God. It's a terrible mistake. Very, very terrible. The result, will be less efficiency, less productivity. We saw it a lot of times. A man, that you don't honor can do nothing for you. He cannot do anything for you. Even Jesus in his hometown could do nothing for them. That thing, it kills the anointing. So you can see that the man of God, he will no longer prophesy to you, because you have become too familiar. Amen. You saw what happened to Aaron's sister, Moses and Aaron's sister. She spoke against the man of God. You are not supposed to marry this. You marry this. And we saw the result in her life. She became leprous. Miriam, who's supposed to be a symbol for the prophetess, lost it to Deborah. So Miriam cannot be the symbol. We saw another one, another woman. She should have been the symbol, but she was replaced. Because she became too familiar with God's man. Miriam. All this thing, reduces the standard. Here's a standard. You must uphold to it. You must fight for it. You see, you must get to a point where you don't try to please anybody. Don't try to make anybody happy. It is God that you are serving. It is not man. If you do things because of men, you'll be making a terrible mistake. Because at the end of the day, it is not that man that will judge you. It is God that will judge you. And he will judge you according to the standard. He will judge you according to the standard. Amen. Do not do things to please men. That man pass away. You see, but God will be there forever and ever. He will still be there. And you will meet him. Keep your fervency. Maintain your fervency. Don't grow cold. Don't joke with your prayer life. Don't get to a point where you think that you've done enough. You've not done enough. There's much more. A lot to do. You have psyched yourself. You have gotten to a point, and you say something like, I've been praying for 50 days. I've not seen any blessing. The moment you say something like that, you lose. You lose. I have been praying. I am not seeing anything. The moment you speak like that, you lose. You pollute your heart. You open doors to your heart. The reason why we are here is not because of things. It's first of all because of obedience. Obedience doesn't mean everything will go right. Obeying God, in fact, prosperity is not a sign of obedience. Suffering is not a sign of obedience. The only sign of obedience is obedience itself. Obedience is the sign of obedience. There is no yardstick to measure obedience. So a man can live in disobedience and prosper. He may not be praying and everything is booming. But the truth is that what that prayer ought to do in the life of that man, the man will never ever see it. He will never ever see it. So there are things that must happen according to the plan of God, according to the will of God. And these things are propagated by prayer. So you may not pray. You may think that the reason for your prayer right now is because of cars. You want, because God will bless you. You don't even know the reason why you are praying. You don't know the reason why you have been called to the place of prayer. You have no idea. Blessings is not a sign of obedience. You can live powerfully in disobedience and prosper very much. And you may think that even if you are not even doing anything, you are not praying, you are not doing anything, your life is moving. The thing is that your life is only moving in that direction, but not in the will of God. That is where the problem is. That is where men lose. Amen. So your greatest wisdom is to continue in obedience. Whether you are being blessed or you are not being blessed, whether you are seeing profits, you are not seeing profits. There is nothing greater than obedience. The moment you choose to disobey, you reduce the standard. You must continue. You must press on. So when Jesus Christ was living, he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. There's a reason for that. Pride will make a lot of people hang their destinies. Pride. They know everything more than everyone. In fact, they know themselves more than God. Pride. watch out.
Watch out.
And watch out.
And watch out.
A man who lives in pride. Will be brought low. At the end
of his days.
As he steps into eternity. You will now see the effect of that pride. Pride is the greatest enemy to see. It's difficult. Very, very difficult. To see pride. So many people, they say things like, for me, I am not proud. When a man say, I am not proud, there's a 99% chance that the man is walking in pride. He is one of the most difficult enemies to see. How would a proud man know he is proud? If you tell him he is proud, will he agree? He will say he is not proud. It is one of the most difficult things to see. You say, my friend, your spiritual life is going down. You say, God forbid, me, it's not me. My spiritual, it is not going down. Watch out. I've mentioned some things that are going to cause you to reduce the standard. If the foundations be destroyed, says, what can the righteous do? The purpose of the foundations is to maintain the standard. So I don't become too familiar with men of God. I don't become too familiar with my prayer. I don't become too familiar with service. With the same zeal I started obeying God, I will continue obeying God. I will not allow pride to rule my life. I uphold and I maintain the standard. You see, all these things that have been mentioned, these are things that would make you and cause you to leave the path of destiny. God will bring you men. Honor them. Don't become too familiar. God will give you assignments. Don't give excuses. Obey to the fullest. Don't try to exalt yourself beyond yourself. As you try to exalt yourself, you will get the most terrible fall. The standard. I'll leave you here tonight. As my time is already up. So I'll leave you as you go back. Go back to your jotters. Go back to your notes. Check your notes. What have God said? Which one did you stop doing?
Which one did you stop doing?
Check everything again.
Check everything again.
Check everything.
Check everything.
Check everything again.
Check everything again.
Go back and check again.
Go back and check again.
What was I doing zealously?
Zealously.
But I stopped.
I stopped.
Who came into my life?
Into my life.
That made me cold.
That made me cold.
Check everything again.
Check everything again.
Take your notes and check.
Take your notes and check.
I leave you tonight,
leave you tonight
in the hands of our Lord.
Hands of our Lord.
If tonight is your first time of joining us, I want to welcome you. The Lord bless you.
The Lord keep you.
Amen. We move further. Today happens to be the 58th. So we have two of this more. We keep on pushing. Amen. Do not lose focus. Stay strong. And continue to push on. Amen. You are not weak. You are strong. You are not relaxed. You are focused. You are not confused. You have direction. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Don't be discouraged. Stay encouraged. Because as you stay, very soon, your light will break forth. If we begin to uproot our seeds, how can they become trees? If we always uproot our trees, our fruits, our seeds, sorry. Today you are here, tomorrow you are here, today you are here. There is no seed. There is no watering. How can that seed become a tree? How can that tree bear fruit? Honor your own works. Honor your own labor. Don't become too familiar with your own labor. If not, you would lose. I'll leave you with those words.
See you tomorrow.
Au revoir.